Good morning. It's wonderful to see you all this morning. For those of you who are on Facebook, please participate in worship by commenting or liking as worship proceeds. This is going to sound strange, but I encourage those of you who are present in the sanctuary to log in to Facebook on your phone and participate on your phone as well as in person. Please turn the volume down and as you see members of our digital congregation join us, welcome them. Let us truly be a warm and welcoming church, both in person and online. Session committees are beginning to meet in preparation for this month's session meeting. The property committee is meeting Monday at 5:30, and the worship committee is also meeting at that same time. The church growth committee is meeting Wednesday at noon. If you would like to be more involved in the life and the ministry of this church, please let Gordon or any member of session know. If you're worshiping with us online and would like a bulletin, please let us know in the church office and we can send you a PDF version by email, or if you prefer snail mail, you a printed copy. Email us at fpc@consolidated.net. After worship today, the children are invited to the fellowship hall for a lesson and lunch sponsored by the CE committee. So make sure that you participate in that. And please let the church office know your joys, concerns, and prayer requests. You can email them to us at fpcpastor@consolidated.net.
Of God. All are welcome here. Let us pray. Mighty and powerful God, through Jesus Christ our Savior, you came to save people in all times and places, offering them new life in your presence. Give us open hearts to receive our chosen one, that through him we may dwell with you as faithful and committed disciples. Amen. Please stand as you're able for the call to worship. As we gather around the word, font, and table,
we pray for the faith of our children.
We pray for trust, humility, and kindness.
We pray for wonder.
Let the little children come to me, Jesus said. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us worship God. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 25. O Lord our God, how excellent.
Christ died for us to wash away our sins. Because we have faith in Him, we dare to approach the throne of God with confidence, asking for forgiveness of our sins. So in faith and in penitence, let us go to the throne of God, using first the prayer of confession printed in the bulletin, and then praying together in silence. Let us pray. United in your love, O God, we are one body across the globe. We are branches of one family whose roots run in the waters of grace. Still, O Lord, we do not act like one body. We find ways to distance ourselves with more than miles. We find ways to divide ourselves into endless groups of us and them. Again and again, you call us back to the waters. Again and again, we turn away. Forgive us, uniting God. And by your forgiveness, challenge us to tend to each other's wounds. Died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. So hear the good news and believe that in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, our sins are indeed washed away. We're new creatures able to live together in peace and in love. So now, as grateful, forgiven Christians, let's stand together and sing Glory to God. Receive the peace of God's forgiveness. Let's pass that peace to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Sovereign God, let your word rule in our hearts and your spirit govern our lives until at last we see the fulfillment of your realm of justice and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our psalm lesson today is Psalm 26 and can be found on page 503 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. Vindicate me, O Lord. For I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and mind. For your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in faithfulness to you. I do not sit with the worthless, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I hate the company of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go around your altar, O Lord, singing aloud a song of thanksgiving and telling all of your wondrous deeds. O Lord, I love the house in which you dwell and the place where your glory abides. Do not sweep me away with sinners, nor my life with the bloodthirsty, those in whose hands are evil devices and whose right hands are full of bribes. But as for me, I walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands on level ground. In the great congregation, I will bless the Lord. Holy wisdom, holy words. Thanks be to God.
Be like a little child. He brought a child up out of the crowd and sat the child in his lap and said, this is what you should be like to be a Christian. And so you play a very important part in the church. You're a symbol for us of what Jesus said it was like to be a Christian. So you shouldn't be in too big a hurry to get to grow up, because you're a very special, important part of the church. And don't you ever think anything else. Okay? God loves you and you do too. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for children who can be assigned to us of the trust and the love that you have for us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much.
Our next reading is selected verses from Hebrews. Today's the first Sunday I'm going to start a sermon series on Hebrews. And it may seem at times like it's more like a Bible study than sermons. But we'll see how it goes, and I'll be happy to get your feedback as we do this. Our sermon series is talking about Jesus in the role of priest. Our first scripture, starting with Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is, Jesus is, the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now God did not subject the coming world about which we are speaking to angels, but someone has testified somewhere, quote, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels, and you have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now, in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, quote, "I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you," end quote. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. We were created to have a direct relationship with God. God created humankind in God's own image. Therefore, God would walk in the Garden of Eden with humankind and would talk with us. Unfortunately, we decided to go on our own way, and we became estranged from God. Our failure to follow God's rules for our well-being caused us to be separated from God. We no longer walk together in the garden with God. Some men were closer to God than others, like Noah and Abraham, and they prospered in relationship with God. Unfortunately, many did not walk with God. So God planned a way that we might all be reconciled to God. So let's start with the Exodus. During a time of famine, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, now known as Israel, moved to Egypt. These people were sometimes known as Israelites and sometimes known as Hebrews. Eventually, they became enslaved to the Egyptians. Now, the Egyptians had many gods, and they had priests who would sacrifice to those gods. The Israelites learned this religion and the need for priests to help them see God, help them understand God. Now, God sent to the Israelites a prophet and a leader known as Moses to lead them from captivity. Moses told Pharaoh to let his people go from slavery in Egypt. After 10 plagues, Pharaoh relented and let the Israelites leave. However, the Israelites took with them many of the attitudes and the culture that they had learned in Egypt. They did not know God. The religion they were familiar with had priests who told them what the gods wanted. In order to break the Israelites of their bad religious habits, God had Moses lead them to Mount Sinai, where God gave the Ten Commandments. These rules were the foundation of a new relationship with God and with each other. Moses' brother Aaron was appointed to be the high priest. Now, initially, the Hebrews made mistakes, like creating a golden calf, reminiscent of the idols they had worshipped in Egypt. God, through the prophetic leadership of Moses and the priestly leadership of Aaron, established a new religious system that involved sacrifice. Many of those sacrifices were of animals that they had worshipped in Egypt. So this was a way that God showed that these animals were not to be worshipped, but were to be given to God, to be dedicated to God, to be offered back to God. The high priest, Aaron, and the priestly caretakers of the tabernacle from the tribe of Levi, often known as Levites, lead the people in committing their lives to the worship of the one true God. Okay, now this history lesson gives us a basis for understanding what it means to be a priest and what the author of Hebrews was talking about when he talks about priests. And what the author means when he's talking about Jesus as our high priest. A priest in the history of Israel is one who leads in the worship of God. A priest is one who helps to bridge the gap between the people who have wandered from walking with God in the garden. The priest is a mediator who can talk to God for the people on behalf of the people through prayers and sacrificial offerings. The priest is a mediator who can talk to the people on behalf of God, telling them to realign their lives with God's purposes. God's prophet Moses and God's high priest Aaron placed the Ten Commandments in a box designed by God called the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark represented the presence of God with the people as they traveled to the land which God had promised them. The Ark was carried by priests. The Ark was kept in a tent called the Tabernacle when the people set up camp. No one except the priests were authorized to approach the Ark of the Covenant or to go in the section of the Tabernacle known as the Holy of Holies, where the Ark was kept. That Holy of Holy area was separated by a heavy curtain. Now, after the children of Israel moved to the Promised Land, the symbol of the presence of God with them, the Ark, was moved all around the country. Now, King David desired to have a permanent home built for the Ark to symbolize the presence of God with them in his capital, Jerusalem. Eventually, David's son Solomon built the temple envisioned by David. The temple had room for the Ark. And just like the tabernacle, it had the heavy curtain that separated the people from the Ark, which represented the presence of God. Only holy persons, priests, were allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. Those priests had access to the Ark, but the common Israelite did not. To this point, most of what I've said is recorded in the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures, the part of our Bible we call the Old Testament. Now, this history is important to us in order to understand God's purpose for us and God's purpose for creation. It helps us to understand what Jesus means to us. So when we say Jesus is our high priest, we understand what a high priest is. Jesus is our mediator who speaks to us in ways that we can understand because Jesus was fully human. And Jesus can speak to God in ways that mediate our humanity to God because Jesus was also fully human. This priestly function is illustrated in a particularly vivid fashion in Luke 23 verses 45 and 46. Which tells us that, quote, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. When Jesus cried out with a loud voice from the cross, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit, and breathed his last. The curtain was a symbol of separation from God, and the tearing of the curtain is a symbol of Jesus bringing us back in contact with God. Direct contact. Jesus, our high priest, restored direct access to God. So this beginning to the book of Hebrews reminds us why Jesus is such a perfect high priest for us. Like the beginning of the Gospel of John, we hear how Jesus is fully God, having been at creation with God. In John, we hear, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. In Hebrews, we hear some similar words. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. So we have affirmation that Jesus is truly God, but we also have affirmation that Jesus is truly human. The author states, quote, therefore he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself was tested by what he suffered. He is able to help those who are being tested. Therefore, Jesus is fully human, fully God, the perfect mediator between us and God. Now, this all may sound very academic, but it's very practical and very important. The reason we pray in Jesus' name is that we are acknowledging that Jesus has ushered us into the presence of God, ushered us into the Holy of Holies. Each of us has direct access to God without the invention or intervention of a human priest. Now, this is an amazing privilege and an amazing responsibility. We will explore what this means in greater detail as we walk through the book of Hebrews together in coming weeks. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, let's say together what we believe using the words of the Nicene Creed, which we will say after we do communion, which today is World Communion Sunday. And how special that we've got our friends from Lutheran Church visiting us today for this particular time. And Lori has done a wonderful job of putting together symbols of bread of different kinds that different countries might use for communion. So, and we're going to do communion a little bit differently today. We're going to do it by intinction. Intinction means that you come forward, you'll take some bread from the plate, which I will be holding, and then you'll go to one side where there'll be a cup of grape juice. You dip it in and you go ahead and take it, and then go back to your seat, to this side, or to this side. So Lori, if you would come forward to hold one of the cups for us. And Michael, if you would come forward and hold the other cup.
Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and from west and from north and from south to feast at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it, and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table, not First Presbyterian Church's table, not the Presbyterian Church USA's table. This is the Lord's table, and all who seek him are welcome here. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and cup, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world, in union with your church in heaven and on earth, we pray. O God, that you will fulfill your eternal purpose in us and in all the world. Keep us faithful in your service until Christ comes in final victory, and we shall feast with all your saints in the joy of your eternal realm. Great is the mystery of faith. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in unity with the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. So on the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread, It probably looked about like this because it was at the Passover and they didn't put yeast in the bread at Passover. And after having blessed it, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat. Do this in remembrance of me." And in like manner, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant sealed in my blood." As often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the saving life, death, and resurrection of Jesus until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Bread options that you can choose depending on your comfort level. We've actually got the sealed cup and bread. We've got bread that is gluten-free. And then we've got different kinds of bread that represent. So feel free to take whatever kind of bread you want or let me know which one you want as you come forward. And then if you'll go back, you'll dip it and eat it on your way back to your seat. Come forward. The table is ready.
seated. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our offerings to the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. Remembering the world that God so loves, we pray to the Maker of heaven and earth, saying, "Let your will be done." We pray for the church. Speak to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we may understand your ways and proclaim your word to the world. Let your will be done.
On earth as in heaven.
We pray for the world. Help us to care for the earth and its creatures, so that the glory and majesty of your good creation will be praised for generations to come. Let your will be done.
On earth as in heaven.
We pray for our communities. Bless all the families you have joined together. Help them to live in faithfulness and love, taking special care of the very old and the very young. Let your will be done.
On earth as in heaven.
We pray for the earth. Help us to treasure the gift of your creation. Make us grateful for the many resources you have given us. Make us good stewards of your abundance. Let your will be done. We pray for loved ones. Remember those who are afflicted with suffering.
Strengthen them to withstand their times of trial and deliver them from all evil. Let your will be done. Sovereign God, keep us watching and working for the promise of your heavenly realm until all the earth rejoices at your coming in glory through Jesus Christ, the Lord of life. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now please stand as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to Christ Be Beside Me, Glory to God, number 702.